2008, the death of Eclipse Aviation and the birth of Aero TV. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. This will be the fifth and final installment of our look back over the first decade of ANN with CEO and Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell, and picks up with the end of the company that began the very light jet revolution. Let's talk about something that happened in 2008, which was kind of a sad moment in any number of ways. We heard at a press conference on the opening day of EAA Air Venture that Vern Rayburn was stepping aside at Eclipse Aviation. And then on November 25th of that year, the company filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And there will be some recovery in terms of capability to service the aircraft that are out there in the existing fleet. But it doesn't look like anytime soon the Eclipse 500 will be back in production. And ANN had a particularly good record of having access to events and happenings over the course of that company. And it was kind of a sad day to see that go away. They kind of invented a category and weren't around to enjoy it in the end.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot to learn from that particular circumstance. And I've stayed pretty close to Vern through and since. We've actually become very good friends. And as somebody who, frankly, just knows how to upset the apple cart in a good way time after time after time, not necessarily always successfully, but certainly in a way to revolutionize the thinking within a particular area or criteria, I think what he did was reinvigorate a whole segment of the industry, and he almost pulled it off. If he had not had his back put up against the wall financially to save the company and had to do a deal with the devil, in this particular case, a foreign investor who promised the moon and ultimately led a lot of people quite astray and, to my knowledge, was fast and loose with the facts. My direct experience is, frankly, that he was not truthful with a lot of people. He certainly wasn't truthful with the courts during the various attempts to keep the program alive. Vern got sold a bill of goods. Vern was desperate. A lot of his people were pushing him in a couple of areas. And ultimately, he got shown the door. Vern would be the first one, I think, to take responsibility for the fact that that was something that could happen. As a matter of fact, he told me very early on that those are the things that do happen in companies like this. But the part to me that was just exciting and innovative about Eclipse was he proved that there was a need. He proved that the airplanes could do what he said they could do. He never got a chance to finish the job. While I realize that a number of people will lambast and point their fingers at him for a number of reasons, and I mean, I've watched, you know, various sites and so forth call him a crook and do this and that. The interesting thing, and I think the reason why we became communicative with Vern was the fact that all he ever wanted from anybody was a fair shake and to be heard. Not necessarily that you had to say things his way. I mean, he obviously would like that, but he knew better. But the thing that was interesting about it is that as long as you were dealing with the facts, he was a very easy guy to work with. And for those who were bound and determined to poke fun and place blame and so forth long before a decision could be made on things, or folks who were the doubting Thomases from the beginning, he developed a pretty combative attitude with them, and that didn't do either of them any good, but it's just one of those things that occurs along the lines. It was tremendously interesting to cover. At times it was great theater. Vern was one of those guys who's just a ball to cover because he's never lost for a good quote. And I think he had the potential to remake the industry. And I hope at some point he's going to come back and try again. I don't think Vern is blameless in any of this in any way, shape, and form. But I think he injected more excitement and more vision at a time when it's really needed than just about anybody I can recall.
In a moment, the birth of Aero TV and what lies ahead for ANN. with Jim Campbell. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
I'm Paul Plack. Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature and my conversation with ANN CEO and Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell on the occasion of ANN's 10th anniversary. We've been looking back over the big aviation stories of the last 10 years. Jim, let's take a look back real quickly on one big watershed event that happened with Aero News Network over the past 10 years, and that's the advent of Aero TV. And spend just a moment and tell us what you think might happen in the next 10 years. I know that's a wide open box.
Well, actually, it's not right now. I've been thinking about this long and hard, and the last couple of months in particular, I've just spent a tremendous amount of time looking at what's happening to new media. Now, 3 years ago, I had an opportunity to gather with a rather interesting group of journalists who were very conventionally trained, who had done very well within the craft. Out of the 20 and some odd people there who were involved in this particular workshop devoted to new media applications among folks who've been dealing with old media for a long time, there were actually a couple people in the room that won the Pulitzer. So it was a pretty intense place to be for 2 weeks and to look at the future of what was happening, in that you can tell stories with words and with pictures, but when you let the story tell itself, when you use video to let the story lay itself out on its own merits with its own sights, sounds, imagery, background, and so forth, then the story just is that much more attractive, that much more understandable, and that much more valuable to a reader, listener, viewer, however they apply it. The new media revolution is extraordinary. It is about as much fun to watch right now and try to second guess what's happening as anything that's out there. We have a very strong plan for 2010. I'm working my buns off to apply it. There's been a lot said about social media. Social media is a buzzword for simply targeting your message to the people who are most likely to be interested in it and bringing them together. Nothing secret about it. It's just that there's some really nice applications now to do all that. We're looking at how to deploy our own particular versions of that. What I can tell you is that it's more of everything we've been doing. It's going to be more attractive. It's going to be more customizable. The last 10 years has produced an extraordinary record. We have produced over 130,000 stories, about 4,000 audio programs, just short of 600 video programs. It is a record unequaled by any other agency currently covering aviation. I'm as proud of it and the people who produce it as I could possibly be. But the one thing I have learned from the last 10 years is that history is a wonderful thing to look back upon, but it doesn't do you a darn bit of good on the day that you're making your decisions. That your best day had better be the day that you're working on, or you're going to be left in the lurch. One of the things that totally cracks me up is watching some of the associations and so forth talk about being a leader in new media and this and that. When I can tell you, Paul, a decade ago or more, when I was working on new media applications for ANN or even pre-ANN from the U.S. Aviator days, especially when we were running the aviation area over at AOL, or portions of it, I should say, and a number of other things. Mm-hmm. We would walk into some of these associations and talk to them about the web, and they look at this like we were trying to sell them smoke oil.
Yeah.
It cracks me up now that all of a sudden it's all there. It's their idea all along, and a lot of it is, frankly, copies of, or in many cases, they come to us and ask how to do this and how to do that, and then they go and do it, and all that's well and good. But like anything else, it's historical revisionism over and over again. What we have to do is look past that and be happy that people are getting the message and realizing that crafting the message is second only to the message itself, but of extreme importance, and that if you don't craft your message carefully, it will never be heard. So the work that we're going to be doing with Aero TV, with your audio programming through Aerocasting, and of course through the written word at ANN, these are the things that we're developing new resources and new venues so that the ANN and Aero TV and Aerocasting of tomorrow is every bit as innovative and valuable as it was 10 years ago when everybody looked at us and said, huh, what? You got to be kidding. Until they, you know, played with it for a couple of days and said, yeah, this is cool and this is what I'm going to be doing every day. I think I've had some good ideas. I think I've got a real good vision for where this has to go, but I have to be brutally honest with myself and say that it has been truly built upon the discourse and the conversation and the interface I've had with some really exceptional people. And ANN has been really lucky at finding some truly innovative and at times just off the wall enough to be really inventive folks who have helped us build this into something extraordinary. I mean, I know this is bragging. What's the old line? It isn't bragging when it's true, and,
yeah.
And maybe that's the case. I mean, I really think we changed aviation communications. I know we changed aviation information. I've been hearing from thousands of people over the years what this means, tens of thousands. I mean, I know we've had a really great effect, but as exciting as that is, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to doing some amazing things for the folks that are working with us now. We really have this amazing staff who's working their hearts out. As amazing as the last 10 years has been, it's tomorrow that excites me.
Well, Jim, on that note, happy and productive 2010.
Thanks, sir.
It occurs to me we didn't touch on something that happened in 2005. That was the start of these daily Aerocasts in audio form. So let me take this opportunity to thank you for the 20,000 or so downloads we get every day and for providing an old radio guy with what has been a very satisfying outlet for me personally. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and Editor-in-Chief, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.